Thanks, Rob. Donald here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, the Chicago baseball teams both had some movement at the trade deadline. Talk about what the Cubs got for their stretch run and what the Sox got for 2027. Also, terrible news at the G rate tonight. That's where Sam Penianovich is at. Why don't we start there, Sam? I just looked over at the monitor and saw the future of the Chicago White Sox face down and a cart coming to pick him up. What happened with Yoan Moncada tonight?
Not exactly what you thought you would see on a Monday night on the South Side. Top prospect Yoan Moncada was ranging out in a shallow right field to try and catch a fly ball. The ball fell between Moncada, who was playing second, and Willie Garcia in right. Problem is, once that ball landed, these two were on a collision course, and Moncada, running full speed, hit Garcia's jaw with his right knee. Ugh. And then he was carted off the field. Jose Abreu, the Sox first baseman, carried his countryman onto the cart, placed him on the cart, and he wasn't seen putting any pressure on that right leg. Now, I'm not a doctor. It's tough for me to speculate. The initial reports from down in the dugout are a knee bruise. There wasn't any hyperextension or any of that, but we're going to wait on a full update from the White Sox. He was taken out of the game. Both players were. But the lead of the story is the top prospect for the Chicago White Sox was just carted off the field.
Never want to see that. The only thing that you could say from a layman's view here in the studio is that it didn't look like what you see in football where knees bend the wrong way. He hit it on a guy's skull. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But there could be some hope that this is a knee bruise, a contusion, as opposed to something worse, a tear that keeps him out for months.
I was actually shocked that Willie Garcia got up. Can you imagine taking a knee to the face at full speed? I mean, that was the more amazing thing out of it. Not that there's anything positive with a collision in the outfield, but yeah, I mean, Moncada certainly wasn't putting any pressure on it. Like I said, Abreu kind of picked him up and put him on the cart, and then the cart rolled all the way from right field into center. He was in the tunnel. He was spotted by CSN Chicago, sort of limping around as they're going to take some x-rays right now. But for Garcia to get hit like that with a full speed knee to the throat, jaw area, and get up and live to tell about it, that was amazing.
Yeah. Not a good Monday. I will ask this before we get on to the trade deadline. The one thing I will say is that the White Sox have always done a good job of doing half price night on Mondays, Tuesdays, I believe, also in the mix. They have one tonight. How's the crowd out there for a team that is not competitive, does not have much to say in terms of stars being put on the field?
Not great, especially coming after the heels of the Cubs series where you thought, you know, maybe some momentum would carry over. It was a nice crowd, too, against the Indians. Division rival, Cleveland, a first-place team. I'd say there's probably 15,000 people. They're going to announce the official number, I think, in the seventh or eighth inning, but not a great crowd, even on half-price Monday. You mentioned the Tuesday promotions, and now, how about this? Every Wednesday from here on out for the rest of the season, Dollar Hot Dog Wednesdays, baby. Feel the power.
Yeah, I got to get out there. Sam Penianovich on the line. We are talking about Chicago baseball. Let's stay with the White Sox. A lot was made of what they did before the trade deadline by shipping Jose Quintana to the Cubs, but all eyes were on what they were going to do now after those moves, including the move to send Todd Frazier and company to the Yankees. Melky Cabrera goes to the Royals. Not as fun, though, when you talk about cash consideration, a couple of A-ball players.
Right, that's the old joke. Well, you should have the press conference and just pull up a chair and lay some cash on the table and see if the cash will take any questions. look, we've talked about this for weeks. If there was any talented veterans on the South Side, they were gone. It was sort of like a chance for you to prove yourself, hey, if you can cut it right now through June and July and prove that you can hit, we're going to trade you. You can pitch out of the bullpen, we're going to trade you, because they're all about throwing those players to the side and bringing in younger, more cost-controlled players with higher upside. And that's exactly what they did. The exclamation point yesterday, the cherry on the sundae, Melky Cabrera. I mean, they traded him to Kansas City. They don't even care. They're just trading him to division rivals now.
Right.
So it wasn't about competing this year. It never was about 2017. It's not even about 2018. This is about 19, 20, and 21 in the future. And everybody that had either an expiring contract or a nice little control piece like Quintana, who signed for a couple more years, if they could bring returns in, they had to go. And that's exactly what Rick Hahn did. He sped up this process. I mean, if you look at the roster on opening day and you look at the roster right now, there are eight or nine guys that aren't on this team all because of trades. It's really it's really a crazy turnaround here on the south side of Chicago.
The White Sox just tweeted out injury update. Yoan Moncada day-to-day with right knee contusion. X-rays were negative. So good
to
know.
Bruce, it's a knee bruise.
Yeah.
Good thing that the X-rays were negative. Of course, that just broke since we've been on the phone. But
right.
It didn't look like, you know, because in basketball or in football, when the knee kind of buckles on the turf or somebody steps on a player's shoe and it twists or whatever, there was none of that. This was just a full-on collision,
straight
knee on jaw. And that's sort of a sigh of relief for White Sox fans that it's not anything, you know, X-ray positive at least.
So here's a question before we move on to the bigger story, which is the Cubs. For the White Sox, now that they've cleared out, and they couldn't get offers on Holland or Clippard or Gonzalez, those guys will stick around. But now, does that pave the way with a Melky Cabrera out of the picture to see some of these prospects, an Eloy Jimenez maybe from the Cubs trade, or some of the Hall from the Yankees trade? Will we see any of the guys come up in the next couple months?
I don't think you'll see any of those guys. Certainly not Jimenez. He's still an A-ball right now. He's playing with Winston-Salem. The guy they got from the Yankees, Rutherford, he's an A-ball as well. Reynaldo Lopez may be the next piece to come up. He's been dominant in Charlotte, Triple-A. There was some talk that he could possibly be called up tomorrow, maybe start tomorrow, maybe later on in the week. I think he's the next domino to come up. But there's no rush. I mean, honestly, what's the rush of bringing a guy up and having him come to a team that's going to lose 95-100 games? There really is no rush, especially when some of these guys getting the back end of the season. They're on inning limits. You know, Michael Kopech in Birmingham throws a lot of pitches, a lot of innings. Lopez is already at 115 innings. So I don't think there's really any need to rush these guys up. You may see one or two more trickle in, but the meat of these prospects are still in A-ball and Double-A. So there is no timetable. There is no reason to bring any of these guys up right now. Let them progress naturally. Let them dominate at the levels that they're at and then keep climbing that ladder. But I think it's maybe one or two more guys you'll see this year, and then more guys will start to trickle in next season and the year after that.
Well, that's boring.
Well, what do you expect? It's a rebuild. You thought they were just going to just put duct tape on the team?
Yeah, I want the Charlotte Knights to be starting on the game against Toronto tomorrow night, all of them.
All of them. Well, they'd be cheaper. They would save the Ryan reserve some money, but no, I don't think that's realistic. I'm sorry to break it.
Sam Banianovich, WGN Radio Sports, on the line with us talking Chicago baseball. We just got done with the White Sox. Let's turn to the division-leading Chicago Cubs, 2.5 up on the Brewers after taking 2 of 3 from them up in Milwaukee this weekend. The Cubs made some moves. They brought Justin Wilson and Alex Avila to Wrigley. What does that mean? I mean, these are pieces that aren't necessarily needs at this point. We've got great arms and we've got a great catcher. What does this do? Just provide depth?
Well, it solidifies the left arms in the bullpen. I mean, this was a guy, Justin Wilson, who's been saving games for Detroit. Throws it up pretty high, mid-90s. He's got a really nice off-speed pitch and a changeup. He's a guy that's going to give you, you know, a left-handed arm, and he's actually better against righties. You know, you think when you bring in a lefty pitcher, well, how's he going to fare against lefties? He's actually better against righties than he is against lefties. But it's a depth arm for the bullpen to sort of spell C.J. Edwards, who's got on pace to throw in 70 games this year. They've been throwing guys left and right. They've been throwing them a lot. So another arm in the pen. And then for Avila, who, by the way, was a White Sox last year, he's just a backup catcher, a veteran guy, a presence in that locker room, because Wilson Contreras can't play every day. Now, in the postseason, he's going to play 89% of the games, but you just don't want to tire out Wilson Contreras in the month of July, late July, August, September, because you got to keep him fresh for the playoffs. And Avila brings a left-handed bat. He's been hitting around 300, knows how to call a game pretty well. He's got a pretty decent arm, but these are just depth pieces. You're right. The heavy lifting was done. That's when they acquired Jose Quintana. He's going to slide into that number two spot in the rotation. And the Cubs sort of had a quiet deadline, but they got the pieces they needed depth-wise, and they're certainly the favorites in the NL Central, no doubt about it.
I was reading around today, and it's such a, you know, you can't really say one way or the other, but that there is a thought that maybe they overpaid for guys like Avila and Wilson. The guys that they gave up were highly touted prospects. They make the Tigers better in the long run. What about the depleting of the Chicago Cubs farm system, even though, I mean, I don't know if that's that big of a deal right now because they're so young?
Well, the question for me is simple to ask you. Would you rather have another World Series ring or would you rather have the number one farm system in baseball? Go ahead. I mean, you know, it's cool to have good prospects and to tout the system, and the Cubs built a really strong system from 12, 13, and 14 and then started to bring guys up in 15, but this is Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer pushing their young chips toward the middle. I mean, these guys aren't trying to save for next year. They want to win again this year. They want to go back-to-back. And for Candelario, he's a third baseman, maybe a first baseman. He could play some left field. Okay, you've got Bryan at third, Rizzo at first, and Schwarber in left. Where are you going to play this guy?
Yeah.
So you can't keep everybody, and we've talked about this as well on your show. Eventually, you have to flip some of these younger guys for some proven pieces that will help you win now. They trade Jimenez and Cease for Quintana, and they ship Candelario away to bring in some depth in the bullpen and a backup catcher. So I don't have a problem with it. I trust Jason McLeod. He'll be able to scout and bring in some more young players. But this is not about the future. It's about the present.
Yeah. Okay, so let me ask you this. I mean, it might be a little bit more about who the Cubs didn't get at the deadline. They had a quiet deadline. They went out and got Quintana, and that's great. But the Dodgers made hay with getting Yu Darvish. I mean, that the Dodgers are right now the far and away the favorites to win the NL. They just got a lot better by bringing in a Cy Young perennial to be a number two or three, even when Kershaw's out. How do the Cubs stack up to the Dodgers? The Dodgers, a team that seems to be destined to get over the hump.
Well, I saw the odds in Vegas actually about 2 hours ago, and the top three teams in the National League, according to the casinos and the sports books, Dodgers are one, Nationals are two, and the Cubs are third. Now, you can mix and match those however you may. I still think in Major League Baseball, it is super tough to go back-to-back. It hasn't been done since 2000. The sport is sort of stacked against the champs. It's hard to get back there and go through that gauntlet again. But I do think that 1-2-3 punch, like you said, you talked about Kershaw 1, Darvish 2, Alex Wood, a lefty, he's having a Cy Young type season. He's their third guy in the rotation. He is so good. And then that Nationals lineup, whoo, man, they can hit. They beat the Brewers last week 15-2. They hit like 7 or 8 home runs. They've got the power bats. The Dodgers have the power arms, and the Cubs are the reigning champs. So you have a nice mix there, 1, 2, and 3. I think, like you said, you can mix them back and forth. But that's the way Vegas sees it. They see Dodgers, Nationals, and Cubs. That's the way they're going to power.
Well, right now, I mean, it's a little bit early because you're only 2 months up, or there's still 2 months to play, right, before they even start the playoffs. But the question I have is that the way it would work is that the wild card would go right to the number one seed, the Dodgers, and so it's inevitable that the Cubs would be playing the Nationals in an NLDS, I guess, right? So, I mean, that's something that Bryce Harper versus the Chicago Cubs, there's something great in that. I mean, that's great. Dusty Baker in there. I mean, that's a nice little storyline.
Yeah, maybe they'll bring Sosa back. I mean, Bartman got a ring. Maybe they'll bring Sammy back. He can run the flag out. That'd be awesome.
That would be the time. Yeah, let's start. My last question for you just has to do with Steve Bartman today. I mean, giving him a World Series ring, you did mention the idea that why not go for Sammy Sosa, bring the team back together. What do you make of the idea of giving Steve Bartman a World Series ring?
Look, and I joked about this on Twitter, and I was on John Williams earlier today, and I think what Steve Bartman had to go through was hell. It was terrible. The fact that Cub fans actually blamed him for losing that series in 2003 is preposterous. It's insane. I can't even put any more ridiculous words on it. That's how sad it was. That being said, what position does Steve Bartman play? What organizational role does Steve Bartman have? I get what he went through. Actually, I don't get what he went through. I can't even imagine what he went through, but just giving the guy a ring. I know the Cubs can do what they want, but I don't know. I didn't like the way they announced it. They made a big deal about it. It was just really kind of tacky to me, to be honest.
Yeah. Sam Benjanovich down at Sox Park watching Marco Estrada make easy work of the White Sox tonight. That guy's a good pitcher. Someone should pick him up too. lots to talk about when it comes to baseball, and we did it. Sam, talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Bulls night. There's 15,000 here. Go Bulls!